Morning. So today's talk started out a little different than most. In the last few weeks, I've been without my family a little bit. So as I was sitting in the pew without my family, I started going through my Bible cover. I don't know if how many of you see my Bible cover, but it's stuffed to the gills. It always is. I've ripped out zippers on a few of them. Not necessarily because of all my stuff, but my children give me little notes and things, and I stick them in there, and I have old talks in there and bulletins, and so I guess I have a hard time letting go of stuff. So anyway, as I was digging through that, when I didn't have my family with me, I was just passing the time. I found a note in there, and on this note, it said Psalm 138. So the handwriting wasn't mine. I thought maybe it was my wife's. So I decided to start going through the hymnals and see what Psalm 138 was. So I went through the gray book and the blue book and the red book, all three. And what I found was in the red book, it is more like the master. In the blue book, it is each step that I take. And in the gray book, it is our Heavenly Father understands. Well, I really don't know what the note originated from, but I do think it probably was pointing towards more like the master, because that's the song I'm the most familiar with. And this song was based on the scripture that I had Munden read to you today. It's very good scripture, talking about our unity and our humility that we need to have to be united and to be a church. So as I looked at these three songs, to me they started putting together a little bit of a story, all three of them. So often when we sing songs, we don't necessarily consider the words that we're singing. We just sing the songs because that's what we do. So today, I would like to take a look at these three songs a little more in depth. I know I've heard other brethren talk about warning us that sometimes the songs are scripturally inaccurate, and that's not really what I want to focus on today. I want to focus on things that we can learn from these three songs. So the first one I'd like to look at is More Like the Master. And I thought about torturing all of you and singing these to you, but I'm just going to read them. So for the first one, More Like the Master, says, "More like the Master I would ever be, more of His meekness, more humility, more zeal to labor, more courage to be true, more consecration for work He bids me do." The second verse is, "More like the Master is my daily prayer, more strength to carry, crosses I must bear. More earnest effort, His kingdom to increase, more of His Spirit, the wanderer to win." And the third verse is, "More like the Master, I would live and grow, more of His love to others I would show. More self-denial, like His in Galilee, more like the Master, I long to ever be." So, to start out with, we're going to look at the definition of some of the words that are used in this song. Most of you probably know what the definitions of these words are, but I want to have them in the forethought of our mind as we look at this a little bit. So first is meek. Meek means showing patience or gentle disposition. Humble, marked by meekness or modest, unpretentious, lowly. Zeal, great interest and or eagerness. Courage, mental and moral strength to face danger without fear. And earnest, a serious mental state. So when we look at that song, and I'd like to replace some of the words of the song with these words from the definition. So the first verse would be, "More like the Master I would ever be, more of His patience and gentleness, more modest and unpretentious, more earnest and eagerness to labor, more mental and moral strength to be true, and more consecration for the work He bids me do." So in that, it's telling us that we need to be more modest in how we go about things. We need to be more earnest in how we go about things. We need to be eager to labor for the work that He has for us to do. And we need to maintain that we have the mental and moral strength to overcome our desires that will lead to sin. The second verse, more like the Master is my daily prayer. More strength to carry, crosses I must bear. More serious effort is his kingdom to increase. More of his spirit, his the wanderer to win. So really the only one to change there was more serious effort. So we need to be serious about the work of reaching the lost. Some people are better than others. There's a lot of people who are a lot better than I am. But as Eric brought out in his lesson this morning, he did a great job that through our day-to-day conduct, people should see that we're different and they should desire to be different as well and want to know what's going on. So we need to be very serious about our effort to reach others. Try not to pass up opportunities that present themselves. The third verse, more like the Master, I would live and grow. More of his love, others I would show. More self-denial, like him in Galilee. More like the Master, I long to ever be. Which, that one's basically the same. So, we need to be living our lives in with the desire that we grow closer to him and grow to be more like Christ. And if we do that, then we'll be able to show that love. So when we look at the song with the meaning of the words and put it into it, in the forefront of our minds, it shines a new light on it to me. In this light, we can see how our role is more active than just singing the song. We have to be more serious and mentally aware of what God's will is for us. And we need to treat others in the same way that Christ treated us. He accepted us as we were. He washed away our sins. And he made us part of his family. So the second song, Each Step I Take, is 138 in the Blue Book. I'll get there. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand, he leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day. Second verse. At times I feel the faith, my faith begin to waver, when up ahead I see the chasm wide. It's then I turn and look up at my Savior. Strong, I am strong when he is by my side. Verse 3. I trust in God no matter what may come. For life eternal is in his hand. He holds the key that opens the way that will lead me to the promised land. So, in this verse, I think of, or in this song, I think more of Christendom as a whole. How oftentimes we hear in society that, you know, God will lead our way, God will make the path right. It seems like a lot of people have the misunderstanding that if they become a Christian, that everything's going to go great. That God is going to take down all the barriers that are in our way and everything will be smooth. Well, we all know that's not the case, and we also know that the Bible does not teach that. To me, this song displays someone who is seeking God's will. He is relying on God's strength and in his face of his trials of life. Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And that goes along with the promises Eric was talking about this morning. These are some promises that God gives us. Isaiah 52:12. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Psalms 139:5. You have hedged me behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me. And I believe it was ESV where it says, your hand was upon me. I think that says, you have placed blessings on my head. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, if we rely on, if we take that at his word, you know, Christ says no one comes to the Father except through him. He also says that he's preparing a place with us, for us, with the Father. I had a pastor that told me that God has put us in his hand and Jesus has covered us. And he gave the analogy of having a quarter in his hand. He said that no one could get to that quarter and take it away, that it was safe. Well, the truth is that we all have choices. We can choose to submit to God's will, or we can choose to go on our own way, as the scriptures above that I read. We know that God tells the children of Israel, God led the children of Israel and he protected them from their enemies. So he led them and he protected them. We also know that this happened because at that time they were living within his will. And that's the important characteristic of all this. We have to put ourselves in God's will. We need to be seeking his will. We need to be actively searching for his will. We must submit ourselves to him and remain in his will if we want to have this kind of relationship with him. If we want to have a relationship where he is leading us and he is protecting us, then we need to make sure that we're living inside of his will, that we're not seeking after ourselves. Then the last song was from the Grey Book. It is 138, again, in the Grey Book. Our Heavenly Father Understands. This is really a song I don't know very well, which is one of the reasons I chose not to sing them for you. But I will read this one to you as well. Verse 1, I need the prayers of those who love me. And that part really stood out to me. I need the prayers of those who care. I need the help of every Christian to take God's message everywhere. He answers prayers for all the faithful. Second verse, I cannot walk the straight and narrow without my Savior's guiding hand. He'll light the way and make it fairer for all the faithful in this land. He answers prayers for all the faithful. Third verse. He'll hold your hand while you're dying. Give strength to cross the Jordan wide. He'll help you answer at the judgment if in his love you will abide. He answers prayers for those who are faithful. So in this one, I want to look at kind of the community or the fellowship that we have. It goes back to the Philippians verses, talking about how we are united together in our humility. Now this song, we think about what it's telling us. It is saying that God is going... Oh, sorry, I didn't turn... I don't normally have this many pages. Got it. This song does not really... growing up, as in my teen years, I really didn't care that much for people. So I messed up there, sorry. When I was growing up, I was a loner. I didn't really care that much for people. I didn't want to be around people. I would have been perfectly content to be a hermit. Most of you know that that's changed quite a bit. I'm still not the most outgoing person in the world, but I can stand to be around people now. But now that I'm older, I realize and I understand the importance of people, and especially the brethren. I always thought of it as the more people, the more problems. And, you know, I don't really like problems. But in this song, we see that we need the prayers of others. And who better to pray for us than the brethren? You know, it said in that song that God answers the prayers of the faithful. And we are not to forsake the assembly, as we're told in the scripture. The church, assembly of the church, and this will help us stay on the straight and narrow path. Romans 15:7. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. God accepts each one of us, and He washes away our sins, if we obey the gospel. That places us on a level playing field, just as we talked about again this morning. There's none of us are more important than anyone else. There's none better, none worse. We are all new creatures, and we should accept and care for each other, each new believer, just as Christ does for us. We need to make sure that when we have a new convert, that we come alongside them and we encourage them. We pray for them, because they're going to have struggles just like we have struggles. And they're going to need help along the way. Malachi 2:10. Have we not all one Father? Has not God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of our fathers? And then Matthew 12:50. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So, by these verses, we know we were all created by God. And we know that if we're doing the will of God, we are all part of the family. We are brothers, sisters, mothers, father. Well, He is our Father. We are all adopted into the family of God. And we are all part of His body. And this part, in the second verse of that song, I stuck it at the back. In the second verse of that song, without the Savior's guiding hand, I questioned that verse a little bit, and I was thinking about it. But as I think about that, if we are the body of Christ, His church, then we are His hand, we are His feet, we are His tongue. So I think in this song, what it's telling us is we need the brethren to help guide us. And sometimes we need to take the hand of someone who might be faltering and lead them on the right path. I think that's what it means here. Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, in all things, He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He also was able to aid those who are tempted. Christ came to earth to be an example to us. We are told that He was tempted in every way that we are tempted, and yet He remained without sin. So our Heavenly Father truly does understand. He knows what we go through day in and day out. He knows what it's like to be a human. We must abide in His will, and if we do, we may just hear in the end, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So in the passage in Philippians, it gives us a great insight into how we are to interact with each other, with the brethren. We are supposed to be humble. We are supposed to fellowship with each other in the assembly and outside the assembly. And then it goes on to talk about how Christ was humbled for us. He could have came and been an earthly ruler like the Jews had wanted Him to be. Yet when He came, He was humbled. He became a servant. He washed the feet of His apostles. He did all kinds of things to show His humility and His meekness. He had all the power to create the world and everything in it, and yet He humbled Himself to die on the cross for us. So if you're here today and you have not accepted and obeyed the gospel, we give you the opportunity to come forward as we sing our final song. And hopefully through this, through my thoughts on these three songs, you got an understanding of how we can better fellowship and show Christ's love to one another and to the world outside. Thank you.